You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. Did you know that the history of God's true church was blotted out in the period from 70 AD roughly to 170 AD? Now that is something that was just totally destroyed. And how could that possibly happen? If you can go into all the libraries in this world and you won't find any history written that writes about that period. That is history of this world. It's just simply not there. Now that is disgraceful and it's alarming, and it led to the greatest crisis in God's church. At that time, up until about 70 AD, the truth of God was being preached in all the world, the Bible says. But then it was not preached again in all the world for another, well, over 1900 years. In this end time that we're living in today, it was preached again, and the man who did it has come and gone. Jesus Christ personally started that church, and yet in such a short time, in the very same century, that history began to be blotted out. And it was in a period of about 100 years that's called oftentimes the lost century. It was just lost. Now that's a real shocker. If you just go to the libraries, any library in the world, and want to find something about the history of God's true church that's recorded there in the Bible, you can't find it. It isn't there. It was all blotted out in a great satanic conspiracy. And that's something that ought to alarm a lot of people. I'm telling you, now God did preserve that history in the writings of John, and specifically in the epistles of John. He preserved the history for us. And I can still remember when I had this explained to me and taught to me, that I was emotionally stunned and can just remember to this day almost exactly how it all transpired. Now, that is something that you and I need to be concerned about, because it all happened because God's people were asleep. The people of God didn't have the power of God to use. It was the power of Satan that brought it down. But it was because the people of God didn't have God's power to overcome the devil. And there's so much in the Bible written about the Satan and his evil ways. And God's people are the number one target for that great evil being. I want to give you some quotes to prove this to you, that it's really just an amazing piece of history that's very rarely discussed, although it should be discussed all the time. But it's not talked about very much at all because, well, people have forgotten all about the true history of the true church. Notice what one of the greatest, most famous historians in the world had to say about that period. Edward Gibbon said in his Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, candidly states, quote, "The scanty materials of ecclesiastical history seldom enable us to dispel the cloud that hangs over the first age of the church." Church history was just blotted out, ripped right out. How did that all happen? Even if God's people were asleep, how could that happen? Jesse Lyman Hurlbut, let me give you a quote from him. He wrote the story of the Christian church, and he calls this period just after Acts the Age of Shadows. And he says this, "Of all the periods in the church's history, it is the one about which we know the least. For 50 years after St. Paul's life, a curtain hangs over the church through which we strive vainly to look. And when at last it rises about 120 A.D., well, most other authorities would say about 170 A.D. In that time span, But anyhow, with the writings of the earliest church fathers, we find a church in many aspects very different from that in the days of St. Peter and St. Paul. Well, now that's something that ought to concern every human being on this earth, especially any Christian. And God's church was almost destroyed, but God promised it wouldn't be, and so it wasn't. And it continued, but it was badly damaged. So, as I read these examples, I believe you will be dumbfounded if you just understand the implications of all of this, what it means to us, what it means to this whole world, especially the whole Christian world. And I think certainly they ought to be concerned more than anybody else, but it should concern all people, because if you want to get to know Satan the devil, you need to get to know what I'm talking to you about today. Satan the devil is real. Jesus Christ talked about him all the time, or a lot of the time, and cast out demons repeatedly. So he knew it was all very real. Satan and the demons are real. And that's, after all, he is the God of this world. And he's deceived the whole world. And if you understand what I'm talking to you about today, you see how he does it. He just blots out what he doesn't want you to know, if he can, or if God will allow him to do so. That's the way it happens. There was a lost century there. And the whole world, they've just blotted out everything about God's true church. Can you imagine that? In the whole world? Just after that message had gone all around the world, Satan came right behind that and blotted it all out. And it wasn't preached around the world again for over 1900 years, so says your Bible. Notice this quote. Herbert Armstrong in Mystery of the Ages, you read of it in the book of Acts, but it doesn't go much beyond that. But the curtain seems to lift, and we begin to get a little bit of the history in about AD 150. There we see a church calling itself Christian, but it is totally different, a different church, as different as night is from day, down from up, or black from white. But it called itself Christian. Now, that should be alarming to all of us. Another one, the noted English scholar Samuel G. Green in a Handbook of Church History wrote, quote, "The 30 years which followed the close of the New Testament canon and the destruction of Jerusalem are in truth the most obscure in the history of the church. When we emerge in the second century, we are to a great extent in a changed world." It's all changed. Here's another one. In Lectures on Ecclesiastical History, William Fitzgerald wrote, quote, "Over this period of transition, which immediately succeeds upon the era properly called apostolic, great obscurity hangs." Another one. In the course of Christian history, William McLaughlin wrote, quote, "But Christianity itself had been in the process of transformation as it progressed, and at the close of the period was in many respects quite different from the apostolic Christianity." Well, that is a shocker and ought to be alarming to anybody who is serious about Christianity. In History of the Christian Church, Philip Schaff wrote, quote, "The remaining 30 years of the first century are involved in mysterious darkness, illuminated only by the writings of John. This is a period of church history about which we know least and would like to know most." See, this is a time when of the Roman Empire, that great empire stretched from the nation of Britain all the way to modern day Turkey. And it ruled with a rod of iron, sort of, about as much as you can in this world. And yet, how many people understand what happened during the period of that Roman Empire? What happened? What really happened? Philip Schaff goes on to say, "Simon Magus unquestionably adulterated Christianity with pagan ideas and practices and gave himself out for an emanation of God." In other words, he was acting like he was God. It must have been demon-possessed, you would think. It certainly sounds that way here, anyhow. He concludes by saying, this heresy in the second century spread over the whole church, east and west, and the various schools of Gnosticism. That's taken from the Apostolic Christianity History of the Christian Church. So there's a lot of good history right there. And Paul himself wrote just 20 years after after Christ's death, a little over 20 years, in 53 A.D., Paul wrote to the Galatian church, and he says, I marvel that you are so soon turned away from the gospel of God. I marvel. Now, that's how powerful Satan is. If we can get God's truth, we can receive it and be given that truth, but if we don't use the power of God, Satan will snatch it all away. I mean, he will take it out, blot it all out. And he almost did that in this end time. But he wasn't able to do so, and there's a good reason why. But you can see many parables where Jesus Christ talked about this Satan making the church his number one target. That is the true church of God, his number one target. So if you want to keep what God has given you, you're going to have to be empowered. And we have a booklet on how to be an overcomer. And I'll tell you, it will explain to you how you can prevent that from happening, how you can keep God's truth once He gives it to you. But there's always just a passion by the devil to take it away from you, and he has power. He's the god of this world. And how many people ever talk about that? And he's deceived the whole world. And look, does that include Christians? Of course it does. Yes, it does. This is Satan's great conspiracy I'm talking to you about. Herbert Armstrong mentioned in a sermon June 24th, 1983, about a statement about that lost century from a German theological school. I mean, it's just everywhere. And there's always been this, well, there was this battle at that time, two violent views about, well, which way should we go? Should we have proclaim the gospel of Christ, that is the very message He taught, or should we proclaim the gospel about Christ, or about the person of Christ? And that's the one that won out. And that's the one that is going to blot out God's truth if we don't learn what's going on here. Let me give you another quote, this one from the Last Hour booklet. Here's what I wrote. In The Incredible Human Potential, Mr. Armstrong wrote, thereupon, this Simon appropriated the name of Christ, calling his Babylon mystery religion Christianity. Satan moved this man and used him as his instrument to persecute and all but destroy the true church of God. Before the end of the first century, probably by A.D. 70, he managed to suppress the message Christ had brought from God. There ensued the lost century in the history of the true church of God. There was a well-organized conspiracy to blot out all record of church history during that period. 100 years later, history reveals a Christianity utterly unlike the church Christ founded. Isn't that just absolutely alarming to hear such a thing and to understand such a thing, such a truth? He concluded by saying it had taken the name of Christ and applied it to the Babylonian mystery religion. And so it was a gospel about the person of Christ, but that's not the gospel. So here we see God's church almost destroyed, and the true church was unable to preach the gospel around the world. It began in that lost century. And the gospel was not preached around the world again until this present time. Now that's hard for people to understand, but I'm going to show you how it's right there in your Bible. And it tells you that. And I'll tell you in Christ's own word from that period just before 70 AD when this all began, this blotting out began. Notice Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, this is Christ, his own words here. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" It should read, it says world, but the end of the age. Then in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." That's verse 14. Now, you have to pay attention to what was said there. That gospel is going to be preached around the world in this end time, and then shall the end come. So let's just say Christ would and his church would have preached the gospel around the world in 1700, and then the end will come. Well, the end would have been then, but it didn't happen then. He was talking in the first century and jumping down to the end time. Now, if you should, let's say, read something like that and say it came to pass in the 1100 or 1500 or 700 or 300, well, the end would have had to come then, and it didn't. The end of the age has not come yet, but it is imminent. Let me tell you, it is. There is a lost century there, and it's just should leave us aghast at how that all happened and what it means. And God's church really did get damaged. Now, John spent a lot long hours with Jesus Christ talking to him, and of course, Christ was filling him in on all of these things, especially what he wrote in his gospel and the epistles of John and the book of Revelation. So he let him know what was coming. He was the only one of the apostles, as far as we can tell, that was even allowed to live. The others were martyred. And even John himself was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos, where he had that's in the Aegean Sea, and where the book of Revelation was revealed to him. I've done two television programs there, and it's quite a moving and stirring to be right there where John was when the book of Revelation was revealed to him by God. Now that's something we all should be concerned about. But let's go back to the first century. Many members were leaving, and that's only a type of what happens in this end time. This book, or the book of the epistles of John, are only a type of what is fulfilled in this end time. It is dual. And you can very easily prove that. Notice 1 John 2 and verse 18. In the Revised Standard Version, here's how it reads. "Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." It should read, you see, the last hour. Now, I'll tell you, we understood this. You know, on May 5th, 2001, that at least the understanding began to come at that time, and we knew we were entering into the last hour, and just 4 months later on September the 11th, the greatest terrorist attack ever in America occurred. That was 2001. Now, was it a physical sign that we really were in the last hour? Well, I certainly think so. I certainly think so. There are troubles that we must face, and there's something that God wants us to understand. There is all kinds of deception out there, and God wants to remove that deception, but people are not prone to do so. Not most of the time. And he said, look, you're going to have that Antichrist, an individual, just like there was one anciently, a man. And you're going to have him and other antichrists, and we explain all that in our book on the last hour. And you should write for it if you don't have it, because it is a dynamite book. I'm telling you, you will be amazed at what's there if you haven't read it. And you really do need to understand that. That last hour is only discussed by the Apostle John. And I'll tell you, in this last hour we're in, things are never going to be the same again, and we need to understand that. It is going to be the worst hour in the history of man, and at the same time, the greatest hour of the history of man. because that last hour is concluded by the second coming of Jesus Christ Himself. So says your Bible in over 100 prophecies. It's not hard to prove that. At that time, you see, John, first of all, thought that the end was going to be then. But then shortly after that, he had the book of Revelation revealed to him, and he realized it was going to be about 2,000 years later. He knew that he didn't understand the time frame as in the beginning, but God quickly straightened him out on that, or shortly did afterwards. So John, you see, in this, his epistles are a type of the last hour in this end time. It is the last hour of man's history on this earth where man rules over man. And Jesus Christ concludes it all. That's the beauty of this. And that we surely would all want to understand. But look how imminent all of this is. And you have the Antichrist subject there, which also John is the only one to discuss. And he does it in his epistle. He's the only one to talk about the Antichrist and the Antichrist, many Antichrists. So there is that Antichrist and many Antichrists. And that is a signal, also a sign of when we're in the last hour. And I believe the greatest terrorist attack on this land is also a sign that we're in that last hour. Look, God wants to teach us. He wants to save us from doing great damage to ourselves. It says in verse 19 that those Antichrists went out from us. See that? The Antichrist date all of this. When you see those Antichrists and that Antichrist, you know we're in the last hour. Time is running out. Revelation 12 and verse 12, Satan knows that his time is short and he's full of wrath. He knows we're in the last hour. Most people don't know that. Well, anyhow, you can see, and I'll just give you some scriptures, 2 John verse 7 and 8 and 10, you can see where the kind of problems that John was having to battle. But did that leave him discouraged and sad? No, it didn't. Even though most of the church was leaving, as they have left God today, he was not sad. And he was not discouraged. Notice 1 John 1 and verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." He says, if you'll listen to these words and heed what I'm saying, your joy may be full. Well, how about that? What kind of a wonderful blessing is that when you know about the lost century? In spite of that, and in spite of Satan's power, there is great joy because Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth and rule mankind with a rod of iron and with all his love. But he's not going to let man have his way then and bring about all this destruction. If we will help God now get this message out, we can help Christ by sharing his own throne and fill this whole world with joy. Now, what kind of a wonderful goal is that to have? There's nothing like it, and there never will be again. Not anything like it. Notice 1 John 3 and verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew not Him." Verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We shall be like Him. God beings. Read how Christ looks, where His face shines like the sun in its full strength. Read that. And He says, we're going to be like Him. And that fills you with joy if you deeply understand that. If you just deeply understand it, and that lost century and Satan's ruling this world doesn't need to get us down at all. Notice 2 John, just quickly, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." God wants to give us a full reward. He wants to give us all kinds of this greatest of all rewards. If the first fruits, as they're called in the Bible, will come out now and help get this message out and help proclaim it to all the world, which hasn't been done since the first century. Now that's a wonderful calling and a wonderful blessing. And how could there anything be more important than that in your life and in my life? Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
Why can you read so much about God's church in the Bible and so little about God's church immediately after the Bible era? The Christian church carried a dramatic message that changed the world. Its message was one of the most powerful ideas ever declared. The Bible records the individual experiences of many of the original apostles. It records how the gospel message spread powerfully. It records how the government and the religious establishment fought the message of Jesus Christ. It records how the Apostle John was fighting powerful deception that was already drawing people away from the true church. Gerald Flurry's free book, The Last Hour, shows you what led to the lost century of God's church. Even more powerfully, it shows you that John's writings were also prophecies of what would happen to God's church in your lifetime. Request The Last Hour. Also, be sure to ask for your free copy of The True History of God's True Church. This new book delves straight into the lost century and the counterfeiting of Christ's gospel. This book will show you what happened to God's church in the first century and how it suffered and struggled against persecutors, including a rising false church. It will also show you the seven prophesied eras of God's one and only true church, eras that led right up to today. Request your copy of The True History of God's True Church by Gerald Flurry. Also, ask for your free copy of Satan Cast Down. This archived magazine article covers the current history of God's church and its immediate future. Request Satan Cast Down, The Last Hour, and The True History of God's True Church. All Key of David literature is completely free of any cost or obligation, and your information remains secure. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.